Stacy, please call the roll.
Good morning. Excuse me. Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Halasy.
Here.
Commissioner Jupiter Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Louie.
Here.
Commissioner Mazzola.
Here.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Here.
Commissioner Zwart.
Present.
Good morning, everyone. This is the Recreation and Park Commission meeting of June 20th, 2024. I do apologize for the technical difficulty with WebEx. We are not able to access the app right now, but I'm going to go on ahead and follow up with comments. So, Ramatosh Ohlone Land Acknowledgement. The San Francisco Recreation and Park Commission acknowledges that we occupy the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramatosh Ohlone peoples, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. We honor the Ramatosh Ohlone peoples for their enduring commitment to Mother Earth as the indigenous protectors of this land and the accordance of their traditions. The Ramatosh Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As stewards of park and parkland, we recognize our duty to honor the Ohlone through thoughtful and informed preservation, interpretation, and ancestral land. Of the ancestral land, sorry. As uninvited guests, we affirm their sovereign rights of First Peoples and wish to pay our respects to the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramatosh community. So we ask that you please turn off electronic devices and take any secondary conversations outside for the meeting to proceed as efficiently as possible. For those of you listening or viewing via the webinar, please note today's meeting is not being live cablecast. However, the live stream will be available at www.sfgovtv.org/recparklive and on the SFGov TV watch page, www.sfgovtv.org/watch. Unfortunately, we are unable to take public comment via WebEx at this moment, but for those here in the room, unless otherwise announced by the chair, each person will have 2 minutes for public comment on each item. Comments or opportunities to speak during the public comment period are available both in person in City Hall, room 416, and remotely. Unfortunately, remotely is not working. Please address your comments to the commission during public comment on items. Neither the commission nor staff will respond to any questions during public comment, but the commission may ask questions of staff after public comment is closed. General public comment is reserved for those items that are not on today's agenda, but that are under the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission. Public comment may also be submitted via email as well as the U.S. Postal Service. Please note that this commission meeting is being recorded. We are now on item 2, the president's report.
Thank you, Stacy. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate the effort that you take to be here and to give us your time. We had a really wonderful celebration. It's an award ceremony called the William Hammond Hall Awards. What we do, rather than doing a monthly, you're the greatest employee in the world, is we save them all up and we do 12 once a year. We also started a new award for our dearly departed Director of Operations, Denny Kern. And that is a special award around, you know, leadership and sort of entrepreneurship within our department. And shout out to all of our winners. It was really a joyous occasion, attended by the mayor and her chief of staff and our city administrator, union representatives, people from the community, and our employees. And we all want to say thank you, and our Commissioner Louie here led us in a beautiful song. She's learned how to play the guitar. She taught herself when she was young, and we sang We Are the World. It was really neat. We also had an API Heritage Luncheon to celebrate the API heritage and culture amongst our employees, and we have a little bit under 1,000 full-time equivalent employees and many, many more hired temporarily for seasonal work. We're at a robust staff of almost 2,000 right now, and this API Heritage Luncheon is always well-attended. We had beautiful performances and amazing food, and Vanita was our mistress of ceremonies. Thank you, Vanita. And there's no doubt that you contributed many lovely things to that. Again, our mayor was there, and in rare form, her usual lovely form. We had a very solemn occasion the other day in Visitation Valley. We renamed the Visitation Valley Playground to the Yik Oi Huang Peace and Friendship Park. And Grandma Huang suffered an unfortunate and terrible violent incident, and she died from her injuries a year later. She was quite an ambassador of friendship and peace in that community. She was an immigrant who spoke zero to little English, and yet she made friends with everyone. And it was a really special time to honor her in the presence of her family members and friends. And I, for one, am so grateful for the community and for our staff to make that happen. We need to make sure that we honor our departed who've done so much in our communities. And, you know, we're so fortunate in this department that there are so many, you know, concerned and involved people who come and teach us things and tell us things and help us stay aware. And Grandma Huang definitely taught us about universal love. The 100th season of Camp Mather is coming up. If you don't know what Camp Mather is, it was the work camp for the workers that worked on Hetch Hetchy to turn it into a reservoir and built the O'Shaughnessy Dam. And after they departed, a group of people, led by a woman, by the way, a woman supervisor, helped to turn it into a family camp. And there's a lottery system, and people get to come, and people from the San Francisco community get to come for a week and experience nature in the Hetch Hetchy area next to Yosemite National Park. And we've been doing it there for 100 years. It's an amazing experience. I went with when my children were small, and it was the one time where I could actually let them ride on bicycles and ride out of my sight and not answer me on the walkie-talkie, and it was okay. It's a lovely way for kids who know nothing but a highly urbanized environment to get out and spread their wings, and for adults to have a little time just to hang out. And some of our favorite people, Linda and Joe, our friends of Camp Mather people are here. I imagine you'll be speaking at some point. Is this right? Okay, great. I won't steal any of your thunder then. Also, yesterday for Juneteenth, there were many lovely occasions all over the city in celebration of this important time in our nation's history. I want to give a shout out to Stacy White because she was an integral part of Monumental Reckoning 2.0. Some of you may know that the Francis Scott Key statue was pulled down during Black Lives Matter protests a number of years ago, and it was decided that we would encircle the plinth with 350 temporary sculptures by none other than Dana King. And each of those sculptures represented the people who were first brought over on the slave ship. And I think Dana King mentioned yesterday that of those 300 people, only 20 survived. Those sculptures were taken down earlier this year in a ceremony called Coming Home. And it was decided that we should commemorate some sort of event for Juneteenth. And so a call was put out for women of color to come and encircle the plinth. And that is what we did yesterday. And there was great song. It was joyous. It was open. It was about healing and reconciliation, and also about never forgetting and understanding how important it is in our culture to recognize that. We must never forget what happened, and we must always embrace and move forward. And those messages were quite clear yesterday in Golden Gate Park in the Music Concourse, which I invite you all to come and visit. Finally, and I just kind of want to bring the temperature to a more solemn mood, is we lost a really important person in our Rec Park family, Eric Hill. And his surviving family are his wife, Cindy, and his sons, Eli and Nico. Eric was a park section supervisor who not only excelled in his role, but embraced his fellow employees with great caring. And he had an excellent knowledge in horticulture. Through the many years at the Lake Merced Complex, he and his gardening team met the annual challenges of many tournaments at Harding Park Golf Course. He was instrumental in collaborating on the delivery of significant capital projects in the area, including the renovations of the Lake Merced Boathouse Gardens, Minnie and Lovey Ward Park, and more recently, the Merced Heights Park. His passion and interests, including his love for his family, horticulture and gardening, and old movies. His calm, patient presence and caring demeanor will be greatly missed by all. And I have a beautiful certificate in memoriam for Eric, which we will make sure his family gets, and we are going to adjourn today's meeting in his memory. And I think, Stacy, is that it for me? She's the boss. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Off now. Hello again. If there's any public comment on this item, please come up to the mic. Seeing none, this item is closed. We are now on item 3, the general manager's report.
Yeah, I guess this is the one. Good morning, commissioners. It's your little haggard and hurried general manager this morning. But it is summer, so summer is here. So much to celebrate. We've got Pride. President Anderson talked about Juneteenth. We've got a bunch of outdoor music concerts, festivals, and so much more. I had a very long report on Monumental Reckoning and Juneteenth events, but I'll skip that. It was a lovely ceremony and a very, very meaningful one. So I want to thank Dana King and Mark Allen Davis and Illuminate in particular for helping to create such a poignant ceremony. There were some other Juneteenth events that happened in our parks over the last few days, so I'll focus on those. This past Sunday, we held a Juneteenth and Father's Day celebration at Gilman Playground featuring live music from the chart-topping R&B group 112. And Grammy-winning songstress Regina Bell, among other performers. We also had a special Juneteenth concert as part of the Illuminate Live Concert Series Singer-Songwriter Wednesdays at the Golden Gate Park Bandshell. We do it often, but another a big shout-out and thanks to Illuminate and Stefan Franz. The quality of the music and the frequency of performances at the Bandshell, but not just at the Bandshell, also on Fulton Plaza, also at the Jerry Garcia Amphitheater, also at India Basin. It's extraordinary. I don't think this department has ever brought more music to parks than it is currently doing. It's really cool. So from Juneteenth to Pride, obviously Pride is all about celebrating our authentic selves, and we all have authentic selves. And coming together in community. I'm going to highlight a few colorful Pride events happening in our parks. This past Sunday, there was a flagging in the park event at the National AIDS Memorial Grove in Golden Gate Park. We did a podcast about flagging a couple of years ago. Hundreds of people showed up to participate in the unique art of flagging, which is not only colorful, but very visually stunning. The AIDS Memorial Grove is a very sacred and special place, especially for the LGBTQ community. Festive events like this are very much what the memorial is really all about, which is celebrating life. I want to remind folks to stop by the Harvey Milk Center for the Arts this Saturday, June 22nd, for the 10th annual Harvey Milk Art and Pride exhibit, Living Life Golden, which features vibrant artwork from more than 20 local artists. The Saturday opening event goes from 6 to 9 p.m. and will feature drag performances. The exhibit will run through July 31st. And then, of course, don't forget about the huge Pride celebration at Civic Center happening on June 29th and 30th, featuring food, music, activities, and fun. The big parade takes place Sunday morning. And, of course, Rec and Park will be participating. Perhaps some commissioners will choose to march with Rec and Park's contingent. It's obviously a very fun and iconically San Francisco event. Because I talked about Saturday, June 22nd, I should probably also kind of insert in my report. We are obviously all very aware and saddened by the passing of the greatest baseball player ever, Willie Mays. so iconic for lots of reasons. But we will actually, the city will actually get a chance to celebrate his life and legacy this coming Saturday, June 22nd, at the Mays annual softball tournament, which raises funds, I think, for the Human Service Agency's Children's Fund. And it is a tournament where all departments play each other all day long. I think Joe Hallisey has been out there over the years. So has Phil Ginsberg when he's not busy pulling a hamstring, running from first to third. Rec and Park, your Recreation and Park Department, will be defending the championship. So we won last year, this thing.
Fire department wasn't entered, I take it.
The fire department was entered, but the fire department no longer has its star third baseman.
Shortstop. Thank you.
Shortstop Joe Hallisey playing for them. So, you know, they are not the same squad maybe they once were. Yeah, they're, you know.
And now Rec and Park has some Basox.
And the Rec and Park has some Basox infusion. And, you know, this old general manager that used to play second, pitched a little bit, he's letting the youngins kind of do their thing now. So, and maybe that's why we're winning. We're out there on Saturday, June 22nd. It's never easy, President Anderson, never. All right. The JFK Promenade Beer Garden returns. Good. It has a splashy new name. The Whale's Tail. You heard the pun, right? I pay people a lot for this work. The Whale's Tail. The name came, give credit to Dave Erebarn, our assistant superintendent for Golden Gate Park. The Whale's Tail is located on the promenade at the 14th Avenue East Meadow, just west of the Rose Garden. It will be open from noon to 6 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays and select holidays all summer. The new name suggested by Dave was inspired by the nearby street whale art installation along the promenade. What's new this year? In addition to beer and wine, we're also serving up cocktails. So you get live music, food trucks, street art, and games. Perfect spot to drop anchor in Golden Gate Park to enjoy music, food, art, and connection. Thank you to our partners for making this outdoor pub possible, Nonplus Ultra, Illuminate, and SF Live. Really special. And if you've had to, well, we've returned to June gloom, but when it's sunny and warm, there's nothing like spending a day on the promenade. It's just really, 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 really fantastic.
Phil, they also put out mats and chairs in the garden. So if you don't have it, don't worry about it. You can use ours.
Yes, they / we do. Yes. Another great thing about the month of June, Stern Grove. This year's lineup is superb. We've got performances by Tegan and Sarah, Madeline, no, just kidding, Chicano Batman, Chaka Khan, the Commodores, and so many more. This is the 87th anniversary of Stern Grove. Since its inception, Stern Grove Festival has hosted over 1,000 free concerts. Think about that. And it has received 5 million visitors through donations. The festival has also received over $100 million in philanthropy, which is what keeps the festival going for free. Although I am not yet 87, but fastly approaching, I have been around for a lot of Stern Grove seasons. And every year, this general manager thinks the concert series gets better and better. So Tegan and Sarah kick it off on Sunday, June 23rd, and hope to see you all there. President Anderson, you already noted Camp Mather's centennial. Its 100th season has begun. Thank you, President Anderson, for the resolution that we'll be bringing up to camp and for all of your passion and support for it. Camp had its first full week last week. It was a smashing success with the inevitable unexpected twists and turns. There is always something at camp that makes it each week very, very special, and it usually involves a natural disaster or a virus. Over the course of the summer, the camp hosts about 500 people a week through August 18th. We've also got a senior week. We have our teen outdoor experience. So we have an inclusion week. So we try very hard to get everybody up. We have a lot of first timers this summer, which is really, really exciting as we continue to try to broaden access to this very, very, very special place where you can ditch city life and relax in nature. Including swimming, fishing, dancing, hiking, tennis, volleyball, badminton, and so much more. So a special shout out to our hardworking staff who worked all winter at the camp to ensure it was in tip-top shape for its 100th season. And also a huge thanks to those T-shirt-wearing leaders of the Friends of Camp Mather. And I'd rather be at Mather, right? Some favor Mather, but I'd rather be at Mather. And although summer registration is ended, you can always check to see if there's any last-minute cancellations. There are, because people's plans change. To do so, visit campmather.org. And you, too, can join, particularly if you're willing to camp. We often have an extra campsite. We'll do this during closed session because Manu just walked in. We are actually suing Disneyland for trademark infringement because it is not Disneyland or Disney World. It is Camp Mather, which is actually the happiest place on earth. So happy centennial, Camp Mather, and I will be there next week to rah-rah-rah, enjoy, probably do some dishes, probably walk the line, and probably play a lot of Scrabble while enjoying a glass of wine with my wife. So that's my plan. All right. Last month, I had the pleasure of attending the Nature Everywhere Conference in Madison, Wisconsin, this three-day event put on by the Children and in Nature Network. Included panels and experts discussing ways to better create nature experiences for kids. I had the very pleasure of participating in the keynote panel called The Transformative Power of Equitable Access to Nature for Communities, where we explored ways that city governments can work with community organizations more efficiently to increase nature access. In addition to exchanging best practices, this was also an opportunity to highlight all of the really incredible accomplishments of our very own San Francisco Children and Nature Collaborative, which this department helped to found and lead and continues to help lead, and where we actually host and sponsor its coordinator / executive director, Maria Durana. That is our in-kind contribution to the collaborative. We have many in-kind contributions to the collaborative, but Maria is our most important. We have over 40 participating organizations in San Francisco, a variety of agencies in a variety of jurisdictions within the city, but also a variety of nonprofits that were all working together to increase nature access. Most recently, we celebrated and collaborated with the Department of Early Childhood, among others, to transform early childhood spaces. We go into low-income, landlocked preschools, and in kind of like one of those Bravo TV specials where you see the home makeover, we take concrete backyards that are nature deficient and we reinvent them into natural oases. It's really spectacular. I mean, the data is very clear about the importance to kids' physical and mental health and their cognitive abilities to make sure that they have nature access at a very, very early age. This is science. It is not philosophy. And so we have already completed 10 of these projects this year alone, and we use recycled stuff from our own parks. We have a great partner in the Presidio, the Academy of Sciences, and we have 14 more of these wonderful transformations in the works. We have the San Francisco Public Library that helps us with regular Swing Into Stories programming, where we bring our mobile libraries to parks, allowing families to access books, obtain library cards, learn about library programs and services, all with an intense focus on nature. So this is a good time to give a big shout out to our San Francisco Children and Nature Director, Maria Durana, for all the work you do, Maria, if you're out there and watching, leading this important initiative. I sit on the national board of the San Francisco Children and Nature Network, and I will tell you that San Francisco is very much leading the way, and it is in no small part because of Maria's incredible focus and collaboration skills. She is a rock star. Speaking of conferences, I wanted to give a quick shout out to the Asociación Nacional de Parques y Recreación de México. Not bad, huh? And I, yeah. Puedo hablar español, pero mejor cuando estoy un poco borracho.
Eso no está bien. Necesito a trabajar en su
dirección. Sí, sí, yo sé. Yo sé.
Muy bien.
Pero necesito necesito solo dos cervezas.
Eso no está bien.
Perfecto. Okay. Commissioner Zwart told me that I really needed to work on my accent and pronunciation a little bit, which I said, give me two beers and I'll be fine. Anyway, ANPR, I think it was more than 35, but we had about, I would say, close to 50 park professionals from Mexico and other parts of Latin America holding their annual conference right here in San Francisco. It's a collaboration with an organization called World Urban Parks, which is the international offshoot of the National Recreation and Park Association. They've come to learn about how we maintain our 235 parks, how we use public-private partnerships to best serve park goers, and how we ensure equity and accessibility for all. I had the great pleasure of being joined by our president to welcome the group at the Palace of Fine Arts yesterday. And on Friday, today, they are at the Presidio. And then on Friday, the group will embark on an all-day tour of our parks, including Golden Gate Park, Palega Rec Center, and India Basin. We're super excited to have them here and to share our expertise and knowledge in running the best park system in the country. Lastly, this is my somewhat somber moment. I want to give you all an update on the department's budget. As part of the June 1st proposed budget submitted to the board, Rec Parks General Fund support declined by an additional $2 million from what was presented to the commission in February. The overall reduction includes the complete loss of our sweet and beverage soda tax funding, which supported the Peace Parks and Requity programs. These programs will continue as they're going to be supported with some one-time funding over the next 2 years, but there's some uncertainty on the horizon. At today's Budget and Appropriation Committee meeting, which Sarah and Antonio will be supporting, the department's budget will be reduced by an additional one-time $1 million general fund support reduction proposed by the Board of Supervisors, their budget and legislative analysts. $600,000 of that million will be an ongoing reduction. While Prop B states that the department is entitled to an additional $3 million annually, which is on a $225 million budget, you do the math, a extremely modest percentage that barely keeps up with increased costs of doing business. The net result of all these reductions is that Rec Park's annual general fund support will decline for fiscal year 24-25 by about $1 million. As a reminder, the department will be slowing hiring. It will be keeping more positions vacant. And we will be coming back again and again seeking new earned revenue to solve this funding gap, because the alternative is fewer programs, fewer services, fewer staff, and upkeep that is not the standard by which we want to maintain our parks. It's not good news. And I usually like to end on a happy note, but I can't today. So that concludes the general manager's report.
Is there any
actually? I'll end on a happy note.
That didn't feel good, did it, Phil?
I can't
good.
Do it. I can't do it.
I know. Come on.
The uplifting note is to say that this would have been 50 times worse, but for the incredible work of Antonio Guerra. And I want to throw into that Dana Ketchum, Sarah Madlin, Beverly Ng, and Eric Anderson, who have really, really, among others, worked together so collaboratively. Antonio he seems super calm and he never gets angry or cranky like me, but I've even seen him lose his cool over this budget cycle. And Antonio's just extraordinary level of competence and commitment to this department has kept this from being much, much worse.
Hear, hear.
So thank you, Antonio.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, is there any public comment on the general manager's report?
Seeing none, General Manager's report is closed. We're on item 4, general public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on items of interest to the public that are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission and that do not appear on today's agenda. With respect to agenda items, you will have opportunity to address the commission when that item is reached. We do have two cards here.
I'll wait.
It's okay, Richard. Go on ahead.
Sorry.
Please let Mr. Rothman go ahead.
Richard Rothman. I'm here representing my seat on the Park and Open Space Advisory Committee. I don't know if the commissioners are aware of it, but four supervisors put a ballot measure on the November ballot to keep the Upper Great Highway or Parkway open 24 hours, or keep it open all the time. And my main concern is representing District 1 is the chain of lakes. And I know I've talked to you before, Friday afternoon after 3, it's a parking lot and also backs up on JFK. So if they're going to keep the Great Highway closed all the time, it's going to be a backup on JFK. Part of the pilot study was to come up with a plan to help reduce the traffic on going east west, going north south, which MTA doesn't seem to, it's not on their radar. So I'm asking that that the commission ask the general manager and Stacy and Brian to work on this pilot and see how we can reduce the traffic going north-south and on the chain of lakes so it's not a parking lot in Golden Gate Park. Thank you for letting me speak out of turn.
Thank you, Mr. Rothman.
Can I have Linda Lighthizer? Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
And General Manager Ginsburg. Well, I'm here, Linda Lighthizer, as a proud member of the Friends of Camp Mather, and also as a part-time Rec and Park employee assigned to the Reservations Department, so we can help folks at Jerry Garcia Amphitheater have more concerts, which we had a fabulous one last week.
Thank you.
So, there's so many hats that I've worn over the years, but I'm so glad to be back here at City Hall, seeing all of you. And I wanted to give you a quick update on another Camp Mather project, and that's the Curtain Project. As you know, our cabins, there are something like 120 of them, and they all are different sizes and different windows. And for decades, volunteers have been replacing those curtains, and I took over the lead on this project about 7 years ago, and I'm happy to say we're almost done replacing all those curtains that probably go back to the 1940s, and so we've got a little more to go, but we're going to get there, and this year you will see a lot more matching curtains in the cabins and a nice bright colors with bandana prints. It all turned out lovely. So I'm very, very happy to be part of that. And, you know, it's kind of like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You get to the end, we're going to need to go back and start over again. So this job will never be done, and I'll be coming back to see you, and I'll also be raising lots more volunteers to keep those curtains going. Thank you so much for all your support of Camp Mather.
Thank you, Lynn. I'm really glad we didn't go curtains on the curtains. That's awesome.
Just a quick comment about Joe and Linda Lighthizer. Just the salt of the earth people. They are pillars of the Excelsior neighborhood here in the city. The Jerry Garcia Amphitheater, anything to do with Crocker Amazon, Camp Mather, big supporters of the Fire in the Ring boxing program as well. Thank you so much for all you do, both of you, Linda and Joe.
Ditto.
Joe Lighthizer.
Thank you, Commissioners. Thank you, General Manager.
I'm here to say a few more words about Friends of Camp Mather, but fundamentally my message is we recognize we've done a lot of routine things over the years, and I'll mention a few of those, but we're also looking forward, perhaps spurred by the centennial, to look to maybe do a little more somehow. We're not sure what that little more would be, but we're open to talking to the commission and general manager and anybody about how we really can support the camp in ways that we have not traditionally done so far. Okay, 20 years or so. Let me start with the Birch Lake Bulletin. We do this once a year. This is last year's. All of this year's are up at camp. But they include such things as a shout out to our general store, which we've managed for a long time, and which we think is really contributes to the ambiance of camps. For the little kids can go in there. We do the T-shirts and hat design. You've seen a better model of the T-shirt than me with Linda, but I have the only hat here today, so I am the best model for the hat design today. We make modest contributions to the physical plant of the camp. We bought basically all the mattresses and bed frames in camp. Just so you know, there are approximately 3,500 bolts holding the bed frames together, and my specialty is tightening them because they get loose every year. All right, my time is up, but just let me say this. It's because our experiences at camp as friends and as guests is that really Camp Mather is a life-changing experience, and we like everybody, as many people as possible, to do it. And we hope it continues for another 100 years and anything we can do to help make that happen.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much.
Is there any other public comment on item 4?
Hello, I'm Robert Peters with SF Kids Swim, a collective of parents who are trying to make access to San Francisco pools easier. And with the summer swim schedule released, we're happy to share our summer report on the summer schedule, which can be passed to you. We're excited to see additional working family swim hours, including Thursday, and we've already received reports that pools are hitting capacity with the new hours, so especially Balboa. We'd like to continue this trend of better access for pools and encourage Rec Park to find creative ways of accommodating family swim times every day of the week, especially Sundays. That's our number one request from every parent that signs up for the collective. And again, we're excited to see progress and encourage that we keep going down the same track going into fall. Thanks.
Thank you, and thanks for this.
Yeah. Is there any other public comment on item 4? Seeing none, item 4 is closed. We are now on item 5, the consent calendar.
All right, may I hear a motion on approving the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor of approving the consent calendar, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? It is approved. Thank you, commissioners.
Is there any public comment on item 5? Seeing none, item 5 is closed. We are now on item 6, the San Francisco Zoo.
All right. Do we have anyone here to report on item 6? Ingrid, please step up and let us know who you are. Thank you.
Good morning. Ingrid Russell, Director of Collections, San Francisco Zoo. Great. Good morning. morning.
Good morning.
We are celebrating 95 years at the San Francisco Zoo. Reaching 95 is an accomplishment for any institution, but in a city as complex as ours, San Francisco Zoo and Gardens, longevity is a testament to the commitment of many generations to connect with wildlife. Over the years, San Francisco Zoo's mission may have evolved, but our value to its community remains the same. To help us celebrate, the first 2,000 zoo visitors receive free giveaway items, and our 95th visitor on June weekends will have the opportunity to name one of San Francisco Zoo's endangered species, including one of our critically endangered axolotls. Over the month, we will encourage guests to walk through history with historical markers detailing the defining eras of San Francisco Zoo's existence. Thank you for all you do to continue San Francisco Zoo's commitment to conservation, education, and recreation. Next. Another rescued and critically endangered species recently joined the zoo and is now on exhibit. Axolotls are unique-looking salamanders native to Mexico and are facing threats from habitat destruction, pollution, and invasive species. These axolotls were confiscated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as they were being smuggled into the country. The zoo was honored by the request of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to provide a safe haven for these rescued and confiscated animals, and we are proud to highlight this critically endangered species. Come look for them at our conservation corner. This is another confiscation case, and the zoo has long served as a home for rescued wildlife, whether they were former exotic pets or confiscated animals seized as part of illegal wildlife trafficking. Recently, a young kinkajou, which is a small native mammal to Central and South America, was placed at the zoo after being confiscated by federal wildlife officials. The approximate 2 to 4 year old female will eventually pair with a male that was acquired under similar circumstances. The new kinkajou weighs approximately 2.2 pounds and recently arrived from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service via the Wildlife Confiscations Network, which is a first of its kind AZA pilot program to reduce wildlife trafficking. She is currently being housed in mandatory quarantine for 30 days, but will be on exhibit soon. As part of our effort to create awareness around the zoo's critically endangered animals and their perilous state in the wild, we highlight a different species each month. This month, we feature Madagascar's critically endangered tortoise species that we have at the zoo, including spider tortoises and radiated tortoise. Our radiated tortoise resides at the Coret Animal Rescue Center, and our spider tortoises are located in the viewing window across from the mandrel exhibit. In addition, we have been distributing bookmarks to guests which provide more information on these amazing animals. Remember, animals amaze, conservation saves. Recently, the assistant curator of the Children's Zoo flew to the Memphis Zoo to pick up our newest red panda, little Meebo. She flew in style, being allowed to have her own seat on the airplane. This was her first flight, but she acted like a pro. While in the air, she spent her time eating bamboo and taking naps. She was inside of a crate. I just want to say that. After her standing 30-day quarantine, little Meebo just moved to the Red Panda Treehouse and Habitat, located in our youth exploration zone. In addition to little Meebo, we also have two resident red pandas, Tenzing and Hunter. Red pandas are an endangered species with less than 10,000 remaining throughout parts of China, Nepal, and India. In an effort to support the species in the wild, the zoo has partnered with a nonprofit, the Red Panda Network, in efforts to save the species. Welcome little Meebo, who was recently named at Zoo Fest 2024. San Francisco Zoo proudly stands in solidarity with the LGBTQA+ community. We are excited to announce the arrival of new Pride-themed merchandise in our gift shop. Our Pride collection features themed water bottles and T-shirts, as well as a variety of other toys and treats, including rainbow stone animals hand-carved in Kenya. Every purchase supports the zoo's mission to connect all people with wildlife, inspire care for nature, and advance conservation action. Celebrate Pride with us by taking home a Pride-themed souvenir that contributes to wildlife education and conservation. In addition, we have decorated the grounds of San Francisco Zoo to celebrate Pride. That's our report.
Thank you, Ingrid.
Is there any public comment on item five? I'm sorry, item six. Seeing none, public comment.
No, there is public comment.
Oh, there is? Oh, I didn't see. Come on.
Hello, my name is Justin Barker, and I am a dad here in San Francisco. I have two kids, and my family benefits literally every day from the work that Parks and Rec does, and the staff that the work that you do is amazing. Our kids have their favorite parks. It's nice to live in a city that cares about these kind of things. Unfortunately, I would never take my kids to the San Francisco Zoo because it is a dumpster fire. It is a trash heap. And those are not my words. Those are the words of employees and former employees that worked at the San Francisco Zoo. Because what has become really clear in an article that came out in May in the San Francisco Chronicle is that we have a major problem, animal welfare problem, a staff safety problem. We had orangutans that were put in rat-infested indoor conditions for 2 years before their exhibit was complete. We have a rhinoceros living in an exhibit that 20 years ago the public and the zoo decided wasn't appropriate for elephants and retired the elephants, but rhinos still live there. We have an Andean condors who haven't had their exhibit completed after 8 years of arrival at the San Francisco Zoo. We have the Madagascar exhibit is still incomplete after 6 years of construction. And bears have escaped their primary containment, coming after the keepers. We have major issues at the San Francisco Zoo that must be addressed. And it's urgent because it's not just an animal welfare concern, it's a safety concern for staff and the public. And I implore you to...
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I implore you to step up.
Thank you, Justin.
I implore you to step up and make major changes at the San Francisco Zoo. Mm-hmm. Because across the way at the Oakland Zoo...
Justin, your time's up. I can't give people
I'm just going to finish
time.
My thought. At the Oakland Zoo, it is a shining light.
Sir, you got to honor...
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Justin.
Hello, my name is Fleur Dawes. I'm with In Defense of Animals, and we represent over 250,000 supporters, many of them in the Bay Area. The San Francisco Chronicle has painted a very stark picture of what is going on at the San Francisco Zoo, charting decades of mismanagement, crumbling unsafe facilities, dozens of deeply unhappy staff who've raised concerns, and neglected animals. We've seen the death of Kabibi, the baby gorilla. We've seen the death of the penguin, wallaroos, kangaroos, Tassiana the tiger. All of those animals didn't have to die, but they did in San Francisco. The zoo is clearly on fire, but the joint committee that me and many of my colleagues just visited, we had about a dozen members of the public there, it seems that the joint committee wants to continue business as usual, and that was such a shock for me to see. It's very clear if you go to the San Francisco Zoo yourself, you'll see birds have plucked feathers from their chests caused by stress of captivity. Now there's plans to bring pandas, giant pandas, to the San Francisco Zoo. These are highly sensitive animals. In fact, they're so sensitive, the Memphis Zoo neglected some pandas and killed a panda through neglect. We just don't want to see that happen here. Please don't let it happen on your watch. Stop the intake of animals at the San Francisco Zoo and do everything in your power to address the severe problems there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on item six? Seeing none, item six is closed. We are on item seven.
All right. Please, staff, come on up. Good morning.
Good morning, commissioners. Good morning, General Manager. I am Kirsten Kaichmeier, planner in the Capital Planning Division, and this morning I will be presenting an acquisition the department is bringing for approval, namely 246th Street. 246th Street is located in East SoMa. East SoMa is a mixed-use neighborhood that includes commercial, entertainment, and residential uses. 246th Street is unique in that it sits directly adjacent to Jean Friend Recreation Center, allowing the department an opportunity to expand on an existing facility in a highly dense neighborhood. The proposed acquisition is consistent with our current strategic plan, specifically Objective 1.1, Objective 1.2, and Objective 2.2, as this site would provide additional open space in neighborhoods with high population densities, with a high concentration of children and seniors, a high percentage of low-income households, and low access to open space. Additionally, it would strengthen and promote the safety, health, and well-being of youth and seniors by expanding an existing facility and provide additional amenities currently lacking in the area. 246th Street is located within an area with greater need, as defined by the recreation and open space element of the general plan. High needs areas have been identified to have high population densities, low household income, and a high number of children, youth, and seniors. The site is also within an environmental justice community zone. These communities are most affected by pollution and other health risks and have a lower household income and access to fewer resources. Additionally, the site falls within one of the three priority areas for acquisitions, as determined by the 2013 District 6 Open Space Task Force. This task force was brought together to identify priority areas within District 6 that were in need of more open space and recreational amenities. So to go over existing conditions, as mentioned before, it is adjacent to Jean Friend Rec Center. It is a two-story commercial building, and it sits on a 9,625 square foot footprint. The first floor is vacant, and the department will be looking at potential interim uses for that floor. And the second floor has an existing tenant, an automotive shop. The tenant's lease expires in May of 2026, and their rent while on site will go to Reckon Park. And in order to make this an open space, the building will have to be demolished. There are a few other parks and open spaces within a half a mile radius. Across the street from the recreation center is Victoria Manolo Draves Park, another RPD property. There are some other non-RPD owned public spaces within a half a mile that include Halliday Plaza, Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, Alice Street Community Garden, JC Square, Parks at 5M, and then there's also RPD's Howard and Langton Community Garden. So the Jean Friend Recreation Center, as you all know, is currently undergoing extensive renovations. Renovations have started this past spring, and expected completion is fall of 2026. There are going to be extensive renovations to the playground, indoor and outdoor courts. Once acquired, 246th Street will not be developed in tandem with Jean Friend's Recreation Center Improvement Project, and it is also not expected to delay or influence the Jean Friend project in any way. In the long term, it is envisioned as an extension to the park to allow for additional uses that could not be accommodated within the existing footprint of the rec center. Future community engagement efforts will identify community needs within this rapidly growing neighborhood and will inform park design. The property is sizable enough to provide more than one single type of recreational use. Some ideas that we've heard early on from community meetings was that dog play area could be needed for this area. So that's just one use, a potential use. But as I said before, future community engagement efforts will solidify those ideas. The adjacency to Jean Friend Rec Center can provide significant maintenance and operational benefits for the department, as it will be easy for staff to move from the current rec center to the newly acquired extension. Staff have been working with consultants over multiple months now to complete the due diligence and have been engaged in negotiations with the site owners regarding business terms of the acquisition. Environmental site assessments, phase one and phase two, with supplemental testing were completed and informed negotiations as the site was found to be contaminated and will require remediation prior to development. The purchase and sales agreement terms are as follows. So the city will spend a total of $7.15 million to acquire the site at fair market value and to perform environmental remediation with the 30 days in escrow. The appraised value of the site is $6.9 million, and the seller will receive $5.31 million for the property. The city will retain a $1.59 million credit to be used for environmental remediation. And additionally, the city will spend an additional $250,000 to cover the remaining remediation costs. Identified funding sources. The Open Space Acquisition Fund will be funding this acquisition. Currently, there's $13.4 million in the fund and projected annual deposits around $4 million. Funding for development. With the current tenant on site, the money can be saved and used towards future site development, but at this time, there is no other funding has been identified for development. And then funding for maintenance, as mentioned before, due to the site's proximity to Jean Friend, it can be easily absorbed into the maintenance routine of the existing recreation center complex. And maintenance can come out of the generational operation funds. The next steps, once approved by the Rec Commission, this acquisition will be brought to the Board of Supervisors for approval this summer. And to conclude, we are asking the Commission to adopt a resolution to update the Recreation and Parks Department's five-year capital plan to include the real property at 246 Street. Also to recommend the Board of Supervisors approve the use of a total of $7.15 million in open space acquisition funds to pay for the fair market value acquisition of $6.9 billion and an additional $250,000 to cover the remaining costs of necessary environmental remediation of the property. And three, to recommend the Board of Supervisors approve the purchases and sale agreement. And that concludes my presentation. I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Kirsten.
Is there any public comment on item seven?
Yes.
Okay. Please step up. Welcome.
Good morning, Commissioner. My name is Sokol Bilishova. I'm the owner of Euro Motor Cars on 246th Street. I'm a business owner there for 18 years, and we basically contribute to the community via taxes that we pay, employment. Also, I've been a vivid supporter of United Players and for at least 13 years. It's very possible I've seen the gentleman on right in their fundraising. So for at least 12 years, we haven't missed a single fundraising there. On the top of United Players, I've been a member of United Peace Collaborative, which is basically a civilian patrol group on Chinatown, and was created during the, George Floyd and BML, protests.
BLM.
And then, long story short, we're a civilian group over there, didn't get paid a dime, in contrary from city, city staff that you guys have there. So I'm trying to make a long story short. We contribute to community, and we are for sure pro-green. We like the city to get greener, and we like the kids to have more space. But we're a little baffled because nobody gave us a heads up of any of this development and any of this acquisition. Hmm? Not necessarily opposing the acquisition, but, we strongly suggest to the city and parks and recreation, then when situations like this arise, you should coordinate with business owners that have been there for a long time to facilitate their moving out of the area or, transferring their business. As I was making the point, it's not that we make a buck and we hide and run away. We contribute to the city via employment, taxes, and also volunteer and contribute overall in a better city, a safer city, and more enjoyable city. And I guess that's about it, what I got to say.
Can you say your name again, sir?
Sure. Sokol Bilishova. I'm basically resident of San Francisco since 1998. I'm a first-generation immigrant. I left the communist Albania 35 years ago. To put it politely, left. We have to basically escape through hell. And I enjoy being in the city. I'm a homeowner in the city. I'm very well programs there in the city. I've worked with Rudy, you know, the United players for a while. I know him personally. I've been in many fundraising where I've seen from, mayor many times, the DA, Brooke Jenkins. Actually, I've worked with Brooke Jenkins when she was basically on Yes on H, which is a political issue. We're not going to go there, but basically was supporters of Yes on H because we believe in second chances, but also we believe in same environment. So the people, you know, the kids can go out, have fun, but be safe also. By no means I'm opposing city getting greener. I want to make this clear.
Okay.
I'm not opposing this project and putting
okay,
the sticks
on
Okay,
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off, but yeah. We're going to reach out, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Is there any other public comment on this item? Item 7? Seeing none, public comment is closed.
Any comments from any of the...
Yeah, I just have a question.
Commissioner Jupiter-Jones.
I don't know if our staff has the answer to this, but I am curious about what our responsibility is or our role in when we're considering an acquisition as it relates to current tenants.
Thank you, Commissioner Jones. Actually, the people can answer are speaking with the public commenter right now. Stacy Bradley. Stacy. Can I borrow you or you and or Bev, who both worked on this? Can you, Commissioner Jones asked that we sort of address the issue of what is, the city's responsibility as it relates to tenants of property that the city ends up entering into a potential agreement to purchase with the owner or landlord. And if you could share a little bit of perspective on what may happen here, obviously, as you can tell, by the way, my staff is doing outreach right now. We obviously care about this issue.
Yeah,
so go ahead, Stacey.
Right. And we mostly deal with real estate, who manages these types of negotiations with us. The Department of Real Estate works with owners and then their brokers to, negotiate a deal. And we as owners would then take on the current lease. What happens with the lease tends to be very specific. So we've had this happen at 11th and Natoma where we purchased properties that we assumed the leases and then each lease has been different. They have gone to month, or some have left, depending on the timing for when we anticipate going into construction. We're surprised that we had talked to real estate to make sure that they're, that the owners and the people working there knew what was happening, that this shouldn't be a surprise. So we will be following up and finding out if there is any other additional work that we need to do.
Thank you.
And Stacy,
the
owners of the building reached out to us first. That was the initial communication.
Yes, because they were planning on, they had been planning on selling the property and really wanted to have that property be part of Gene Friend. They were really excited about the opportunity of expanding such a key piece of San Francisco and something that does so much for so many in the city.
Thank you, Stacy and Bev, for reaching out to Mr. Solik. Any other questions from my commissioners? I did want to make a comment, and I think Phil might want to go in on this too. But in my opinion, two really important aspects of our goals, not just as a commission but as a department, is enriching the now. And I believe that our department does an amazing job with that, especially with respect to programs for children, youth, and their families, and equity programs, and in the outreach that goes around changes and growth in parks. Everything that you all do in our department is superlative. So we enrich the now and we invest in the future. And in order to invest in the future, we have to acquire land. And I am very excited to say in my tenure on this commission, we have gone from the statement of 225 parks and open spaces to 235 parks and open spaces. And I have been at the ribbon cuttings of new parks, and I have been at the groundbreaking of new parks. And it's exciting, and we need to do that. So for us to have an opportunity to acquire land with all of its complications so that we can grow parks and grow recreation programs is critical to our success and to our future. So kudos to the team on this. Annie?
Yeah, sorry. I guess I'm having not, I think this acquisition is a great, there'd be a lot of value to it. I'm not kind of questioning that. I think what I'm sitting with that's difficult for me is like hearing our budget situation.
Yeah.
And hearing the danger that current programs and current parks and current staff could be facing. And so maybe I just would like some more clarification on how acquiring something new at a big cost, and maybe it's that they're different buckets of budget, but it's a little hard for me to wrap my mind around spending this much money when we just heard that.
Yeah,
we're in
so there's a couple of things, and this was the point, Commissioner Hallisey, that I had alluded to at committee.
Right.
So the bucket for acquisition is a completely different fund. Those funds are not usable for operations. Our open space fund, which is a product of our charter section 16.107, puts aside 2.5 cents of every $100 of property taxes that inures to the city. It reserves it. Now, within that, we do use a lot of that money for operations, but there are a couple of restricted buckets in that open space fund, and one is specifically for acquisitions, and that can only be used for acquisitions, and it renews over time. So there is acquiring a park, then, or acquiring land, then there is building a park. We would build a park with sources of funds that could not be used for park operations. Those are bonds, or those are state grants, or those are federal grants, or sometimes that's philanthropy, right? So acquiring a park and building the park do not intrude upon the sources of funds we have to operate parks. But once a park is built, we need to care for it. And that means we need to have enough gardeners, and we need to have enough plumbers, and we need to have enough park rangers, and if the, you know, the, or even permits staff if it's got a ball field, or if it's, you know, a place where active program recreation takes place, we need to have rec staff. And that's where this, you know, that's where this is potentially challenging. Over the years, there have been different philosophies in this department by different commissions and different leaders. And some of my predecessors often said, we don't want any new land because we can't take care of what we have. And I don't agree with that philosophy. I think we need to think about the future of our park system, as President Anderson noted, over generations and not over budget cycles. There is a point where the rubber meets the road, and it creates a little bit of tension. Which is why we have to be fierce advocates for making sure that we have the resources we need to take care of the land we've been asked to manage. But neighborhoods change. You know, when one of the reasons that this property exists where it does is because this was a formerly industrial neighborhood. And as our public commenter noted, you know, now you've got UP and you've got kids and you've got families. And the neighborhood has changed, and you know, this is a neighborhood that has very few dog parks. So, you know, we have to be able to, what makes our park system special is our ability to respond over decades, not a 2-year budget cycle, but over decades, if not half centuries, to the changing demographics of our city. Now we can acquire the land. And every property is different, Stacy, because I do think that there's an opportunity to actually build this park because of the opportunities related to the Gene Friend Rec. But sometimes we will acquire land and just bank it and wait for tomorrow. But when a good opportunity arises, and your responsibility, frankly, is to vet these opportunities, and not just you, but Prozac, and then this commission, and then ultimately the Board of Supervisors, we do have a philosophy in this organization of trying to think, a few decades down the road.
Thank you. I guess just one last follow-up question. Thank you for explaining the difference of the funding sources. The bonds that we get that are specifically for park operations, do they not get the same layer of protection?
We don't get bonds for park operations. No, but bond funds cannot be used for operating expenses. Under California state law, bonds can only be used for capital projects, to plan and develop capital assets. I think that's the fair way to put it, right, Stace?
Okay.
So our operating revenue comes from three fundamental sources. It comes from the general fund, which is the city's tax base. That's the money that we get that is allocated in the mayor's budget. Now, in 2016, and what I was referring to in my report was there was a ballot measure, which is different than a bond,
right, that's what I
which
meant.
Created a funding baseline.
Right.
And that is what Antonio and I and others in our department, frankly, are feeling frustrated by.
Wondering how they came to this number.
Put it mildly. So that's different. So the money to operate our parks comes from the general fund. It does come from another ballot measure, which created this 2.5 cents for every $100 of property tax. We can use a lot of that for operations. We are restricted in a small percentage of that, which is can only be used for acquisitions, because that's what the voters had the foresight to allow us to do. And then the third is the money we earn, and those are fees and concessions and concerts and parking garages and tennis court reservation fees up at the board. That will, depending upon how the board votes, that's worth $1 million a year.
Thank you for explaining it.
Okay, if there's no other comment or questions, Commissioner Mazzola, please.
Sorry, I just had one quick question. It says the fair market value acquisition, and maybe I missed this. Was there an appraisal done to get to that fair market value? Or how did we come up with that?
Can you show it on the screen? It was up there. There was a fair market value and a credit back for environmental, right?
Correct. Yeah, there was an appraisal, and the appraisal appraised the property at $6.9 million.
Got it. Okay. Sorry, I missed that. Thank you.
So, yes, General Manager Ginsburg. We're going to try to enable a vote soon so we don't lose our commissioner.
Oh, sure. Just one point of clarification for everyone that I think is important. So we don't have funding identified for capital improvements yet at this site. We do have funding identified for remediation, which we will need to do, but that is also factored into the purchase price, I believe. So we will we'll remediate the land, and then we will do design, and then try to pursue either grants or what we call IPIC fees, which is, what does IPIC stand for again? Am I having a brain cramp here?
Oh my gosh, it's a development impact fees.
They're basically development impact fees. Thank you, Stacey, for getting me off the dime. What is it called? Yes, so that's the committee that decides what to do with development fees. Thank you, Antonio. And then on this particular site, we do not have a profound operations and maintenance concern, because it's very small and it's already attached to Gene Friend. So we feel like this one is doable.
Thank you so much. Okay. I see no further questions. So the vote is three-part. Please turn to item 7 and read along. I would like to see a motion to adopt a resolution to, 1, update the Recreation and Park Department 5-year capital plan to include the real property at 246th Street, 2, recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve the use of a total $7,150,000 in open space acquisition funds to pay for the fair market value acquisition of $6.9 million and an additional $250,000 to cover the remaining cost of necessary environmental remediation. And three, to recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve the associated purchase and sale agreement. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor state aye.
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 Any opposition? It is approved unanimously. Thank you, everyone. And please, Commissioner Zwart, I know you need to go, so don't feel shy about taking off. The next item, Stacy.
We are on item 8, general public comment. This is continued from item 4. Is there any general public comment on an item that is not currently on the agenda?
Yes, come on up, please. This is anything that does not appear on the agenda. Hey, Aaron, probably about the Marina Harbor or something like that, eh? Come on up. Yeah, okay.
Yes, my name's Aaron Roach, and I am a resident of the Marina. And if you remember a few months ago, we successfully helped squelch the plans that I'm sure are disappointing to you. But I just wanted to say, I get emails every single day and texts every single day saying what's happening with the Marina, what's happening with the Marina. And we were told that we were going to get some designs to look at in springtime, and now that's passed. We'd very much like to be involved in any new designs, and I'd hope to avoid what happened last time if we do have some community input. So I just wanted to say we're really eager to see what's going to happen in the Marina, and we hope that the community can have a voice in the planning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other general public comment? Seeing none, item 8 is closed. We're on item 9. Excuse me, commissioner matters.
Would any of my colleagues like to bring any commissioner matters up? Something for discussion in a future meeting? I see none.
Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We're on item 10, new business agenda setting.
I don't see anything.
Nope. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, public comment is closed. And item 11, communications.
I would just like to comment that if anyone wonders whether we read their emails, pay attention to their comments, I would like to say that we do. We have a process. It's very thorough. We collect all the communications. They are assessed and communicated to us. Referrals go to staff. People are reached out to. I think our department does a really good job of following up and following through. And if you differ with that at all, please reach out to me. I'd like to know. Thank you.
Is there any public comment on item 11? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We are on item 12, adjournment.
So you may recall that we are going to adjourn in the memory of Eric Hill. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? We are adjourned at 11:29 a.m. Thank you, everybody.